Of the 19 vows, 106 reads, I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. And then as I gave you some of the verses, we'll see some of the things that he vows to the Lord. But first off, a vow is a solemn promise. Deuteronomy 23:21-23. Pat, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy 23.
When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not forget to pay it, for it would be sin for you. And the Lord your God will surely require it of you. However, if you refrain from vowing, it would not be a sin to you. You should be careful to perform what goes out of your lips, just as you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised.
So how important was it? How did God think about it?
It's sin.
It's sin. And it's better not to make a vow than if you're not going to have an attitude to keep it. And this was not only to God, but your word was to be yes, yes, and no, no to your neighbor. And there were different things throughout the law that talked about that. So, the psalmist makes vows to God based on his trust in, love for, delight in, benefit from God's word in this psalm. Verse 7 and verse 62. What did someone find that he made a vow to God about?
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned thy righteous judgments.
Okay, in verse 7, I'll give thanks with uprightness of heart. That's an honest heart. With integrity, he's going to thank God. He vows that. And we see him throughout the psalm giving thanks and praising God. But let's think about this for a minute. Do we ever say, I shall give thanks because of your righteous ordinances? That's verse 62. And then we forget to pray. Or we forget to praise God. Because in our prayers, are we just doing the asking instead of the thanking? So, one of his vows was that he was going to praise God and give thanks because of the righteous word and because of the impact that it had on his life. Comfort, revival, all the things that we studied about the benefits, that he got hope. You know, just a thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that I have in Christ Jesus. We do this here together. So, we need to consider if we think, you don't have to say it out loud, to be to God. You don't have to say it out loud to say something to God. So, let's keep what we say or think. Purpose. Sometimes we fail in purpose. But God here calls it, like Pat read, sin. It's sin. Verse 8, Any questions or comments on that one? Verse 8, verse 44, verse 57, 106, 146. Back to the, we read 106 a while ago. What's involved here in this vow? He uses, about I will, I shall.
Keep your law. Keep your law.
Keep your statutes continually, one verse says. He even added that. It wasn't haphazard with him. Forever. Do your commandments. Clinging. Verse 31 in the psalm, I didn't put on your lesson. Sally, would you read verse 31?
I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame.
What was your word? I will what? 31.
I cling to your testimonies.
Cling to. Keep close. And then in the verses that we read, to keep. We read the attitudes and studied his attitude towards that. So he is telling God he's going to keep them close and he's going to keep them. Someone who does not keep close to the Word of God, whether their daily Bible reading, their study, their meditation, he used all those words. Not all of study, but he's going to meditate. He's going to listen to. So, you keep it close. How often do we think to go check out God's Word about something when something comes up? Is it our first thought? Maybe. Could be a question. Or do we look elsewhere? Any comments? Fifteen B. What's that? I will.
Meditate.
What?
Meditate.
What's that mean, Susan?
Study.
Pour over. What?
Think on.
Consider. What about pay attention to?
Would that be in regard to your ways?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. To your commandments. I'll pay attention to. I'll meditate on it. I'll pore over it. It's not just a quick read to get an answer for a study. Is giving thought to, paying attention to. And it goes along with D. D also has 15, 27, 48, 78. Also has the word meditate in it. Let's read verse 48. Elizabeth, would you read verse 48?
And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.
Okay. What does lift up my hands to your commandments mean? What do you think?
I'll do them.
Not only do them, get praise, too, but do them. I'm going to lift up my, I'm going to look there, I'm going to study, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to take delight in. By the way, I'm going to keep them.
And I'm going to love doing it.
And I love doing it.
Exactly.
Good job, Elizabeth. Yeah, right. I love doing it. I love your commandments. Attitude has everything to do with it. You're not going to do any of it if you don't have the right attitude towards it and the thanksgiving that comes from the benefits from it. Any thoughts on those verses? Because 16a and 47 that you just read, that was talking about there, I shall delight. I shall delight, not just I delight in. He's making a statement, a vow to God. I'm going to delight in it, Lord. What's delight mean?
Take pleasure in.
Yes, take pleasure in. And he's talking about loving. It brings him joy to know the commandments of the Lord because it brings him comfort. It revives his downtrodden soul. It tells him how to do righteousness. It leads him in God's way. It gives him hope. All those things that he has declared, that we've studied, he takes delight in that. It's not a dread to him. Any thoughts on that? All right.
If you ultimately, it's for your good, you know, both here and internally.
Exactly. Why would you not keep something that you delight in? You know, your birthday. Everybody likes to celebrate their birthday. We just celebrated Mother's Day. Was it a delight to remember all the good things that Mom has done, or your children have remembered the good things and praised you and said thank you for, and those kind of things? It causes action. Joyful action. Grateful action. I shall delight in your commandments. Therefore, it's not a problem to keep them. Verse 32. This is interesting. After 31, he says, I cling to your testimonies, and then do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Let's put that in another way. Because you have enlarged my heart with your commandments, and I gain all the benefits from it and everything, I shall run. Is my take on it. Okay, what picture does this form in your mind? I shall run the way of your commandments. What picture does that draw?
I'm not sure I'm getting the same thing you're saying, but I shall run the way of your commandments, meaning I will seek them, I will try to grow in them. And that's where my heart will be enlarged, because I am running towards you.
Exactly. And in the first couple of verses of the psalm, he says it keeps you from stumbling. If you're going to run, hasten with vigor, run, or do, you know, if you take that. If you're going to do this, run. He went from walk to run, in my view. You can disagree, it's okay.
Talking enthusiastic.
Huh?
Enthusiastic.
Enthusiastically. And not only that, when you run down a path, what might be in the way? How about some roots? I know about rocks and roots. But we don't run down those paths anymore. Snakes. She said snakes. Okay. But, you know, you don't run in a place that you're not sure that it's not smooth or not full of stumbling blocks or you're going to fall. I see assurance here, don't you? I shall run with vigor, clear path, and you know what else? You got a goal. Somebody tell me what verse 5 says. That prayer in verse 5, oh, that I may.
Oh, that my ways were directed.
What?
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes.
Absolutely. That's his prayer from the beginning. What's he want? What's his goal? Oh, that my ways may be established.
To keep your statutes.
Yeah, to keep your statutes. But that's what his goal is. Remember what Paul said about running a race? Why do you run the race? To receive the prize. You just don't run aimlessly. You run to reach the goal, to receive the prize. And his prize was all those benefits and all those prayers. But the hope is his main goal, because it gives hope. And that should be our goal. Why do we run the course? To receive the prize. To receive forgiveness, righteousness before God, not only what I can do, but because of my faith in what he's established and given, that we should be thanking God for. So, I will run the race. This is going to come up, Lord willing, if we have time at the end of this. Because we sing some songs sometimes. We make a couple of vows to God, but we'll talk about that. And then verse 33, 69, and 145. Just another way of saying something. What does he say in these verses? I shall
observe.
That's sort of watch over, keep, guard.
With all my heart.
What?
With all my heart.
With all my heart.
I think that's the attitude we need to have when we observe. Because, you know, you just observe things.
Right.
But your heart has to be in it.
And guarding. Standing there ready to defend, ready to keep safe in your heart, ready to guard with all my heart, to observe. 34 says that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. So it sort of explains itself. The Holy Spirit does that all the time. Especially in Psalms and Proverbs, sometimes the second line explains what the first line is talking about. Any thoughts on that? Verse 46. Interesting vow. What did you put down for verse 46?
Speak of God's testimonies and not be ashamed.
Speak of God's testimonies and not be ashamed. That's a pretty hard one sometimes, isn't it? But here, he says, I'll walk at liberty, I seek your precepts, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings. That's who he has to deal with. Not just ungodly people, not just somebody that loves the Lord already, you know. But he's talking about the rulers who are persecuting him. They're telling lies about him. They're trying to kill him. And then, of all things, in verse 47, he says, I shall delight in it, in the commandments.
Which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. You love God's commandments? You love people? This is one that sometimes I have to consider what I'm saying to God. Because I get to be, I'm a chicken sometimes. Doesn't mean you don't use discretion. But sometimes we just let it go. We just sort of put it off. Alright, but he's vowing to God to speak before kings the testimonies and to others. He's got all those persecutors. He's got others around him. Any thoughts on this? We got some wisdom out here. What are your thoughts?
Verse 27 says, Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day.
Okay. Of course, 50 says it's his comfort in his affliction. It's revived him. They comfort him, verse 52. But then there's these other people. And remember, he wanted to have an answer to those who bring reproach against him. How do we answer? Jesus told the devil, again, it's written. He used scripture. You can't get better than that. The apostles, the writers, the prophets, they used scripture to make their point. Remember Peter and John when they were in prison? And they were told not to go out and speak God's word, Jesus, about Jesus anymore. Famous saying, we shall obey God rather than man. They've been beaten, they've been thrown in prison, and they've been told not to speak about it. So, any thoughts, any other thoughts? Verse 16b, let's go to 16b, and then we'll go down to the other one. I shall
keep your statutes.
We already did that one. My glasses have got me up two ways. Okay. Well, 16b and verse 93. Let's go to verse 93. 16b says, I shall not forget your word. But 93 is the one I put on your lesson. What's it say?
I will never forget.
Yeah. He adds a little word in there. He adds never. Forget your precepts. I'll never ignore it. Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. I don't like it, but I'll do it.
Is that the right attitude?
But sometimes we read hard sayings in the Bible, and we don't like it. Are we going to do it, Are we going to ignore it? Are we going to find an excuse?
Am I misunderstanding you? I'm not seeing where, and it may just be that I'm missing something. I don't like it, but I'll do it.
No, I don't like it, so I'm not going to do it attitude. You ignore it. You don't forget it. Sometimes forget your precepts means not just not remember. It means more than that. It means ignore and not keep. Am I right or am I wrong about that? It's okay.
No, I understand that, but I guess I'm not seeing.
Do I care for it enough to keep it? Or do I ignore it?
How we read it. Okay. We read commandments. There are commandments that are hard to withdraw from somebody you love.
Exactly.
Are we going to do that or are we just going to forget by just not doing it? I'm not going to do that. I love this person. They're close to me. God, surely we're misinterpreting that somehow.
Got it.
Or I think maybe it'd be better to do some coffee clutching, not that discernment comes in here. But how long do you talk? And how long do you plead? And how long do you give them God's word? And they refuse. And like Pat said, withdrawing is one of those things. Divorce and remarriage is the other one. They don't want to hear it. I even had someone tell me, I know that's what God says, but He wants them to be happy. And we've got these children. I don't know how I'd make it. God's going to overlook it. That's human reasoning. It's false judgment based on what you want. Remember in our class in 2 Corinthians, what kept the Corinthians from doing stuff with their own affections that we just studied? That keeps people having the right attitude and they sort of forget. Not that they don't know. Or they may sear their conscience. God warns about searing your conscience because you ignore, you make excuses, and then all of a sudden, you don't think about that anymore. I will never forget, he says. That is huge. I pray this psalmist lived long enough and kept this vow. Or he had to do an awful lot of repenting. Because it's sin. Verse 95. I will diligently consider, discern, have regard for, verse 117 says, be attentive to your word. This event. I'll diligently do it. Not just I'll do it. But now, so we've got diligently, with all my heart, never forget, give thanks for, run, hasten with vigor in your ways. So, Any thoughts before we go to number three? We're going to quickly go through this because I want to get over and just do quickly the wrath of God, which is easy. Now, what do we sometimes promise God just in our worship? We can do it privately. Ever sing a song where you make a vow to God to? Do you ever think about what you're saying? Do you know that 484 is one of the songs we sing a lot in this congregation? You know what it says? I will never forsake my Lord. You better be careful. Not that we don't need to sing it. I don't sing that line. I say, Lord, help me not to, in my mind. Because Peter got in trouble. Sometimes we need to watch what we vow. Because we're singing to God doesn't mean that He don't hear it that way. And we're not only that, we're saying it to one another. And we don't have time. I was going to take time to read this the song. We talked about speaking to others. We sang, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord nor to defend His cause. We sang that one. You know another one that we like to sing? And sometimes I choke. It's called A Beautiful Life. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. And we go on and on and on about what we're vowing to do for the Lord and for one another. We better mean it. I don't know about you, but I have to ask forgiveness about some of this stuff. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I surrender all. Man, that's an old favorite. And then we sing another one. None of self and all for thee. That's the last line of that song. Many, many more. Anywhere with Jesus, I'll go. Any thoughts? Any disagreement? If you don't think that's vowing to God, I want to hear it.
We can pray that we won't forsake. I pray I will never forsake.
Absolutely, we can.
But I don't know that I consider that a vow.
Opening prayer, please, Lord, help me not to forsake you, is different than saying, I will never forsake thee or leave thee. In my judgment. We sing a song, Lord help me. To do this, this, and this. Help me, Lord. We sing that. Man, I need that a lot. Those kind of thoughts and attitude. The wrath of God. In verse 84 through 86 and 126, what is the writer's expectation concerning God toward the arrogant and lawless? What'd you put?
judgment, vindication,
to act in judgment. Well, help me. Act in judgment. In verse 120, if you read, what is the psalmist afraid of? God's judgment. He has hope, but he also fears God's judgment. So what does he do in between? He takes delight in. He seeks to serve it, observe it with all of his heart. He diligently meditates. He does all those things because there's hope, but there's also he fears God's judgment. Explain from the following verse what God's attitude or actions were towards the faithless. What's he do in verse 21? He rebukes the arrogant, the cursed who wander from his commandments. B and C, 18 and 19. God demonstrates how he does this in judgment sometime. In the land of the living and the day to come. Because God rejected or tossed aside. Brought to an end to all the wicked. Past, present, future. Verse 119, he removed all the wicked. He does it by deed. Can you think of one instance where God completely removed somebody because of they were so wicked? Well, and then there's Pharaoh going through the Red Sea. There's Jericho. There's the nations and taking the land. But God, Sodom and Gomorrah is pretty interesting. Herod, we talked about Herod sitting in class, setting himself up is God. Michael mentioned that. God got him. It wasn't fire from heaven, but it was worms and he died. Armies were defeated without battle. But one day, the Lord's coming back. And he's going to judge. And guess what's going to be opened? There's going to be two books, we're told. The Book of Life and Scripture. My words will judge you. 155. This is something that we deal with in the religious world. Verse 155 of Psalm 119 says, you will not save those who do not seek and keep, love and keep his word. He won't give victory. He's not going to deliver them. He's not going to forgive them if they don't love and seek and keep his commandments. He will not save. The religious world today, oh, God's a loving God. He's not going to send anybody to hell. That's just for the really, 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 really bad people. And the devil. In Psalm 73, I hope you all read that. It's just a reminder Asaph, was the Levi and so the singers and the temple worship after David set that up. He wrote of one being stricken and seeing a world of wickedness. He saw how the wicked prospered. He almost stumbled. He almost gave up. He almost gave into it. What's the use? You ever get that feeling? What did he do? What kept him from stumbling? He went into what?
Sanctuary of God.
Does that mean he went into a building?
No.
In the Old Testament, of course, there was the temple or the sanctuary, whatever, you know. Worship. Word. For us today, taking the lead from 119:19, the Word of God will keep us from stumbling. We see all that. We get discouraged. What will keep us, and even from saying things with his lips, like, doesn't God hear? What's God doing about it? God doesn't really care about me anymore. What's the use? He almost even sinned with his lips until he remembered, until he went into communion and fellowship, got back to it, meditated. What was his response in verse 28? I have made the Lord my
refuge.
Sort of sounds familiar to 119, doesn't it? Okay. Conclusion. Y'all have probably read all these verses, but it's almost time to stop. Romans 12. Present our bodies as living sacrifices by renewing our mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is a good and acceptable and perfect. Everybody knows what Ephesians 6 is. Put on the armor of God. He gives you everything we need to stand firm. And oh, by the way, the last one is pray at all times. Hebrews 12 talks about what we just got through talking about. Don't refuse him who's speaking from heaven, but serve him, because he is coming in judgment. Christ said something very important to the churches of Asia. In Revelation 2 and 3, he who overcomes, this is 3, 5, and 6, I will not erase his name from the book of life. Remember a while ago we talked about those books that are going to be open? Is your name in the book of life? And in 2015, if anyone's name is not written in the book of life, he'll be thrown in the lake of fire. Before the final remarks, anything concerning the lessons, any of them, before we finish out? I wrote 3 songs that we sang a lot to sum up this study. To me, You can pick your own. You can. You don't even have to do that. But to me, number one is Psalm 500. Give me the Bible. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Read that Psalm and see what it says. Number two, 360, standing on the promises. And 683, because this is what the Bible and the promises and His faithfulness and His righteousness. If we truly believe, we'll stay and be happy. 683. Even when you're down and out, even if you're hurting, there's something to sing and be happy about. And there's many, many more. I could do half the book. But just something to think about. But that, in a nutshell,